Nothing like being in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's learning well, ain't he, sister? He's back there just clapping away. So praise the Lord. We're going to let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. Kind of a privilege to be among you today. And just pray that I can just get out of the way and the Lord can say what he once said. Then I'll just sit down and be quiet. Amen. I heard somebody say one time, that's the thing that a minister needs to learn how to do is know how to get up, speak up, and shut up. You learn those, you do pretty good. So, I think kind of the privilege to be among you. So, let's all take our Bibles, if you don't mind, and let's go ahead and turn the scriptures to Psalms chapter 27, verse 3 through 5.
Amen. Yeah.
He knows that's the rapture scripture.
That's right.
It says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Only one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you'll come and you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, and help me get myself out of the way, Lord. And Lord, you are the discerner of hearts, Lord. You know the needs of each and every one of us, Lord. God, you are the one that speaks to us throughout the week, Lord, of every day. We're just asking that that same voice that speaks to them during the week will be among them today, Father, recognizing it's the same God, Father. We love you. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. I want to speak to y'all this morning, confirmation by recognition. How many knows it's the same God that speaks to you during the week, the same God here today? Amen. You know, it's always amazed me especially during the springtime, and you go through and you'll go the day before, no trees will be budded anywhere. And the very next morning, you come out there, and no matter what highway you drive down, they're all blossoming. They all did it at the same time. You know why that is? It's the same voice spoke to every one of them trees. Amen? And I know that sounds simple, but I believe that's the same way God is. You know, we'll go through our lives, and your mind can be on 100 different things, and then all of a sudden, the Lord will bring everyone's mind to one subject. And God will start doing it. And I believe that's the way the rapture will be.
Yes.
I believe we'll go about our normal routine. We'll be going to work, be going to school, doing our daily life. And that same voice, in the same way he tells those trees, it's time.
So
he's going to talk to us.
Amen.
I believe that. Read just one quote. Brother Branham says, the Methodists thought when they shouted, they had it. But they found out they were wrong. A lot of them shouted and didn't have it. The Pentecostals come along, they spoke in tongues. They said, we got her. But they found out they were wrong. Many of them spoke in tongues and had nothing. Though I speak with tongue of men and angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. They didn't have it. That's right. That's the reason the whole world was deceived by it and do the other thing. That isn't the answer. Not a fleshly demonstration or emotion, but something has happened in here that's changed your whole opinion, changed your whole nature. You are converted, not you, but Christ has come into you and converted you. Your nature's dead, the old man, and you're born again, and you're a new man.
Amen.
Watch. Amen.
Amen.
You ever noticed in your life, especially in some of you maybe younger experiences, some of it may be your experience now, how that you can go through life and you'll do so well. You know, you'll do so well serving the Lord, and it seems like the things you fell into before, you're not falling to them anymore. And you're running the race really well. But see, next thing you know, you look at yourself and you're like, how in the world did I get in this mud pit again? Amen? You know, and that's the way it is because there's something on the inside of your heart that has a hunger for something. And Brother Brennan said it this way. He said, I can talk to you for about 10 minutes and I'll know if you've got the Holy Ghost or not. And see, because the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, it's hunger for the Word. Amen?
That's right.
It's a Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he says, if I go to your place and you've got dirty pictures on your walls or you've got these different things going on in the rock and roll, he says, I know that's not the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost don't feed on those things.
That's right.
Amen. We are led by appetite. Amen.
Yep.
We'll have something on the inside of us that hungers for God. And that's what actually leads us. God leads us by hunger, amen, by a desire for the Word. And the same thing for the flesh, man. We are led by our diet. You can tell what a man or a woman has been pondering on because a man or woman will speak from the abundance of their heart. If you want to know what someone's really got on the inside, listen to them talk for a little while, and you'll see what that is. Confirmation by identification, amen? They'll begin to talk about different things, and you can see what they've been feeding on. And Brother Graham talked about how the churches, many times, they come to the point, they say, I finally got it because I spoke in tongues. I finally got the Holy Ghost. I finally got the mark. And find out they didn't have it. You'll find out some that shouted, or some had an experience of having hot oil or warm oil come across their body in the service. And they said, I finally got it. I got the Holy Ghost. I finally got it. And then they find out not too long later, they didn't have it. Amen? I've talked to many people, and especially even in the foreign missions, where men would come up and say, I thought so many times I had it, Brother Daniel. He said, because I felt that hot oil. I felt the warm oil. He said, nobody could have convinced me different. He said, but within a couple of days, I was back in the same old thing again.
Right.
You got to have that nature changed. Amen. Right. Brother Billy Graham is a precious brother. He would preach his meetings, and he would have thousands come to the altar. Thousands of them would literally come to the front and say, oh God, I want you in my heart. And they'd say the prayer. They would accept Jesus. They'd come into my heart. And then he would go off to another meeting, and he'd come back, and he couldn't find 10 that were still there. Right. Because see, you've got to go beyond just coming to the point of saying, Jesus, come into my heart. But there's got to be a death to the old man. Amen?
Right.
There's got to be a more than just a justification state.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with people coming to the point of accepting Jesus as your Lord. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful step. But you can't stop there. Amen? And he would talk about these things, how that many times how people would come to all these different points in their life and say, I finally got it now because I've got this here. There are many people you can talk to that will say, you know what, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. And they say, I want to get a Bible. And I was talking to a man the other day. He said, I'm going to go get a Bible. He says, where should I start reading from in the Scriptures? I said, well, you should read from your heart. But I gave him a few things that I thought would be beneficial to me. And he asked a couple of questions. And one of the questions he asked is about, my wife always wears a dress when she comes to work. She always wears her skirt. She got a few dresses, but I guess her skirt's the difference between the two. I don't know. But she'd come up there, and he said, why does she always wear those? I said, well, the Scripture tells her to. I said, but I never made her do that. I said, you know what happened? I said, my wife and I were first together. We were friends going to church together. I said, I prayed to God that God would deal with her. I said, because I was not going to live a life where I have to tell her how to dress and tell her how to walk. She has to have an experience. Because, you see, if she's doing that, then she's under me. And she's just serving me. I want her to serve God. Amen. And so, I give a testimony how that I worked the Ulrichs at that time, and I come home late at night. I was working a lot of hours, and my wife met me at the door. And at that time, she was wearing her tank tops and her shorts and different things like that. And please forgive me, but it was true. We got to the door, and my wife met me at the door, and she was wearing a dress. And she had tears in her eyes.
Amen.
She just grabbed a hold of me, and she hugged me real tight, and she said, I just want to thank you so much for not pushing that on me. Because God revealed to her it's the right thing to do. Amen.
Amen.
And see, it's a revelation.
Amen.
And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, that's what the Scripture says about it. I said, it's because you have to have an experience with God. Because when you truly have God on the inside, He'll say amen to the Word. Amen.
That's right.
But the man said, he said, oh no, I don't believe you have to do that. There's too many churches out there you can go to. That's very true. You know, you go to any gas station, I don't care where you go, they've got these filthy things called cigarettes back there in the back. And they'll have every brand you could possibly think of. All kinds of different colors, different flavors, different things. And what it is, all of them have all got different filters on them. And you can have your own taste for your own kind of cigarette. And people have tried to use that same filter, just like our prophet said, try to use that same filter on the Word of God. And they have their own taste of the Word. They say, I don't quite believe it that way. I believe it this way. They have their own filter for the Word. But how many knows this is the real filter? Amen? The Word of God is our real filter. But see, they got their own flavor, and they'll go to a point where a church, and they'll praise God and serve God as long as it don't step on their toes. They'll serve God as long as it don't touch my personal life. As long as I feel good about myself, I'll go to church here. And that's where our brother Joe Osteen has a tremendous congregation about those things. He can make you feel good about yourself. He can make you feel bubbly on the inside. He can talk to you about how to have a positive attitude, but there won't be any correction, brothers and sisters.
Right.
The word is corrective, amen.
Right.
It's where whenever he was asked the question, is homosexuality wrong? He said, I don't like to judge those things. I like to let God judge those things. I'm going to tell you something, friends. It's wrong.
That's
amen?
Right.
It's wrong.
Right.
And it's sin. And I tell you what, sin is sin. But I'm going to tell you what, it's the truth. And you know, I would rather go to jail and know that I went telling the truth than to be a little hypocrite that didn't have enough backbone to tell the truth. Amen?
That's right.
They've got all kinds of filters where they can live. You can live a certain way, and as long as you've done a certain thing, you're okay in the congregation. But friends, we got to make sure we all know where we're standing. Amen.
Right.
There's going to be a rapture morning this morning. I want you to listen to me very seriously this morning. There's going to be a rapture morning this morning.
Right.
There's going to be a rapture, and I'm going to be in it. Amen. And you've got to confess, you've got to commit yourself. Brother Tony quoted a scripture the other day, and I absolutely love it. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. That is just awesome the way he brought that up. We have to gird the loins of our mind and say, I'm going in this rapture.
That's right.
This rapture is for me.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to say, it's for me. I'm not afraid of the rapture. It's my gift. It's my ticket out of here.
That's
amen.
Right,
I'm excited about it because you know what? This world ain't fit to live in anymore. You go down the road, you down the streets, and it's absolutely a world falling apart out there, just like the prophet said it would be.
Yes, sir.
People told him back then, whenever he had the visions, and he seen how the women, their clothes would go down to nothing, 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 until they had nothing but fig leaves on. And many people thought he was crazy. He said, it'll never come to that. Look outside there today, amen. Look at the filth out there of going out there. In some of those things, I thought, wow, maybe he's being a little extreme. I'm going to tell you what, he hit it right on the head.
That's right.
We come to a point, and the thing is, you can go to them ever so politely and show them the Word of God, and they'll tell you, I'm just as much a Christian as you are. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm a Sunday school teacher.
That's right.
And you can't tell them nothing. They're blind, naked, wretched, and don't even know it. Amen.
That's exactly what this is.
Friends, we're in a day right now, it's such a serious hour to where we need to know where I've got the Holy Ghost. You know, as I said, many people went at one time. They said, you know what, I accepted Jesus into my heart. I come to the Lord. And maybe you did. But let me just try to pick in your heart just a little bit, okay? If you were to come over to my house, and I would say, come on in. I want you to come into the house. And you come inside my house, and I say, now you stand right there. And don't you touch anything. Don't be touching. They'll be sitting on my sofa. Don't go in my kitchen. Don't go, and don't even dare go inside this room. You're going to be ready to leave in just a few minutes, aren't you?
Yeah.
I would be if you treated me like that.
That's right.
But you know what? That's the way many people have done the Lord. They say, you know what? I want to receive the Lord. I want to receive the message. I want it. And you let Him come into your heart, but then when He begins to poke around and change things inside your heart, it's like, wait a minute, don't be doing that. But see, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Amen?
That's right.
And He won't force Himself on anybody. Listen to me, young people. He's a gentleman. And when He knocks on your heart, it's a wonderful thing to accept Jesus in your heart. That's a wonderful thing. To receive water baptism, that's a wonderful thing. Praise God. But you know what? You've got to step on up into what we call sanctification. What is sanctification? When a baby's born, there's three things that happens. Number one, her water's going to break. Amen? Then she's going to have blood. Then there's going to be life. Amen? Justification is when you receive the Lord into your heart, you say, God, I want to receive you into my heart and my life. That's a wonderful step. You've received justification. But then you go on into sanctification. It's when you begin to take the Word and apply it to your heart, to your life. And you hear the message and you hear the truth and you say, God, I want that. And you begin to apply it to your life, sanctified by the Word of God. It's a wonderful step. It's a great step. But don't stop there, friends. You got to go on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And brother, and Abraham come to a point where God told him, he said, Abraham, I'm going to stop here to show you something. Adam, when he talked to Adam, he said, Adam, if you do this, I'll do that. As long as you do this, Adam, you're in the promise. Y'all touch that, you're out. But you know what? When he talked to Abraham, he said, I've already done it, Abraham.
That's right.
I've already done it. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a seed. I thank God I'm a seed of Abraham.
Amen.
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 I thank God he didn't say, Abraham, I'm going to give you this promise until you make a mistake. And then when you make a mistake, you have voided your inheritance. Because you know what? We make mistakes every day. Amen. But see, he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I've already done it. You're going to have a great nation. I'm going to have a seed that's going to come through you. And Abraham had to believe God. And that's the one thing the devil wants to fight us so hard on, is simply believing God. Amen. And it comes to a point where he says, Abraham, and through the test of Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to give you on this test, I'm going to have you to receive the sign of circumcision. And this circumcision in your flesh, he said, it's going to be a sign for thee. And it's a confirmation that Abraham believed God. God gave him a circumcision. And that circumcision today is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's a cutting away of the old man.
That's right.
And let the new man come in. Amen.
Yeah.
We got to have the real circumcision of the Holy Ghost. And Abraham, you know, I want you to think about this. Abraham, even after that, he didn't have the promised child right then. It took time. But Abraham had to always look back to that promise, to that circumcision, and say, you know what? God promised it. I'll have it. And I'm telling you what, we've been promised a rapture, friends. And you think about how ridiculous Abraham must have looked. 65-year-old man, or however he was. 75, I believe he was. 75 years old and still saying, I'm going to have a son. I'm going to produce this son. There's going to be a son. Everyone look at that. You imagine seeing a 75-year-old man come here saying he's going to have a daddy. He's going to be a daddy. I actually thought I had one here here a while back. This guy came in, and it was him and a younger woman. And she probably, I don't know, probably in her 30s maybe. And she said, having a baby. And I said, are you expecting your grandchild? Are you real excited about it? And he was in his... He was about 70, a little over 70. He said, that's actually my baby. I'm just playing. I said, yeah. He said, oh, I'm excited about being a grandfather. I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, he was just as serious as could be. He looked at me and said, that's my baby. Oh, my goodness. Open mouth and insert foot. But see, that would have been ridiculous to me. To look at that man, that man's going to have a baby. But you know what? That's how ridiculous we look to the world.
That's right.
Whenever we are saying that a God from eternity is going to come down and actually translate our body.
That's exactly.
And we're going to step into another land.
Right.
It looks foolish. It looks crazy. But I believe it.
Yeah.
Amen. And I've got a circumcision. In the same way that Abraham looked back at his circumcision and said, God promised it. I'm looking to my circumcision of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying, God promised it and I'll have it. Amen. God give it to me. God give it to y'all. And all we got to do, brothers and sisters, we just got to keep pressing on and help our brothers and sisters gain that land. Because you know what? I want every hoof to be with us. Amen?
Yeah.
Not one hoof left behind. Abraham, and I'm just going to show you just one real quick quote of Abraham. He says, now we notice then as the year passed, nothing happened. 2 years still. Glory to God. Sarah had the little booties made, the little bird eye, you know. Everything waiting. She was waiting because she knew that this baby was coming. Because God promised it. And now we are supposed to be Abraham's seed, spiritually speaking, being in Christ. Now we should take hold of every promise of God and cherish it as though it was already done. For when God has spoken, He can never take it back. If God has a promise in the Scriptures, I believe we should take that promise. Take Him at His word. I believe we can have it. Amen. I believe that we need to come back to the point where we're living by faith and we take God at His word. You know, and let's just look at just a simple healing. When you have needing of healing, it's so easy. And I was talking to a man yesterday. The reason is it's so easy living here. But if we could take God at His word, friends, how much higher could we live right now? Amen. How many times do we live under our privilege because we don't take every promise of God and say, God, it's mine.
Amen.
And I'm going to take this promise. But you know what? The main promise I want to go to is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
To where you can truly have a true change on the inside. You take a hog And you clean him up, you shave him up, groom him up, put some of that polo cologne on him. You can put whatever you want on that thing. Make him smell good. It's hard to imagine a hog smelling good. And I know firsthand, we used to have a hog farm. 541 mama hogs. But you know what? You can imagine taking that hog and cleaning him up and make him smell real good, make him look good on the outside. But you put a clean house right here and a pig pen here, he'll hit the pig pen every single time. And the reason is his nature has not been changed.
That's right.
And friend, I'm telling you something. If you keep finding yourself in the pig pen,
Yep. If
you keep finding yourself there, it's because you've got to get that nature change. Amen.
Right.
There's got to be a death to that old man.
Amen.
He's got to die. Because if you don't, you'll go year after year after year right back to the pig pen. You'll come back to church. You'll go back and you'll say, God, forgive me. And I won't ever do it again. And the next thing you know, sometimes you don't even get all the way home and you're already in the pig pen again. But once you get that nature change, friend, you'll desire the good things.
Amen.
Because that's the life on the inside, and we're led by diet. And recognition, you can ask yourself, and you can be honest with yourself, and you know who you look at in the mirror, and you know what you've been feeding on. And you know yourself, the real thing, what you're battling. And I'm telling you what, it's real easy to be in a congregation because you don't want people to think ill of you, amen? I love my brothers and sisters here. I would break my heart if I was to think they seen anything in me. And that's the way the devil will use that. And he'll make you think, you know what, you don't want anyone to think bad about you. Because if they were to know you were struggling with this, they'd look so bad on you. But that's a lie of the devil. Amen. If we've got one that's struggling with something, we want to help. Amen.
Amen.
We want to help you overcome. We want to help you come to the point. Because I'm going to tell you what, the Word will do the same thing today as it did back then. Amen? They found a seed from Pharaoh's tomb. And it was a wheat seed. And they stuck that seed in the ground. And you know what it produced? It didn't produce tomatoes, pumpkins. It produced wheat. The original wheat. And I'm telling you, the same Word, when we put it in the right environment, it will produce the same thing.
Amen.
It will do the same thing. The same Holy Ghost that they had back then, we can have it now. Amen? When God makes a promise, He must keep it. And He told the children of Israel that they would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years. In those 400 years of them being beaten, women being ravished, going through all the things that they were going through, God said they would do that. But God also said, I'm going to send a deliverer. Amen?
That's right.
And God, same thing. We're going through things right now, brothers. We've got brothers and sisters that are beaten, ravished, all the different things in this world. Maybe not necessarily here in the States, but we've got brothers in the overseas that are already going through it.
Right.
But we've got a sign of a promise, amen, of a deliverance, where we're going to have a rapture. And I believe with all my whole heart. The Lord wants me to echo that to you. We are going to have a rapture. Don't let the devil rob that from you. Don't let the devil rob from you, make you think, you know what, we're not going to have a rapture. It's just, we've been doing this for 40 years, 50 years. We're going to have a rapture. You know, in the Old Testament, they would come forth and they had always mistakes in their life and they'd have to go for an atonement before the priest. And when they did that, they would be a man of all kinds of different problems. And when they took that lamb without blemish before the priest, when that priest looked at that lamb, do you know, he never even looked at the person. As long as that lamb was accepted, they were accepted.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And I remember a story one time of a poor little mule that was born. And this mule that was born, his tail was broke sideways and had big fat lips and big buck teeth. And one ear was longer than the other. One ear pointed forward and the other ear pointed sideways. And he was just in awful condition. And when this mule was born, he would walk around, and any time a mule, when he tries to talk or bark or whatever they do, beller, it sounds terrible. This guy was 10 times worse. Whenever he would holler, he had a little squeak in his voice when he tried to do it, and all the other mules, without a doubt, would make fun of this poor little guy. Because his tail was crooked. That's what they call him. Oh, there comes old crooked tail. Now he'd come through there, and he was in awful condition. And he said, you know what? I am ugly. And he began to get really hard on himself. And he says, you know what? The shepherd's going to come and he's going to knock me in the head because I ain't no use to him. And I imagine he went to his mama, and he was talking to his mama, and his big lips and his big buck teeth and his broken tail. And he started telling mama, he said, "Mama," he said, "I'm so ugly." And I can imagine his mama turned to him and said, "You're not. You are a very special mule. You are very special. And your ears, the way they are, you can probably hear a little better in some places. They're pointing in different directions, right?" But he was in awful condition. And he said, "Mama," he said, "I'm scared because they're going to knock me in the head. And I'm not going to live anymore because I'm no use to him. I have nothing to offer in him. I'm full of mistakes. I'm full of failure. And I was born this way. I'm in awful condition, Mama. What? I don't want to die, Mama." And old Mama had a little revelation. And Mama said, "He's got a lamb that's going to take your place. And you know what, son? Whenever he sees that lamb, he's not even going to look at you anymore. Because when that lamb's accepted, you're accepted." Amen? That's the way we are, brothers and sisters. We come in this world in awful condition. Ugly, nothing to offer the Lord. You look at all the mistakes in our life that we'll have inside of us, and we'll say, "You know what? I have nothing to offer the Lord." But he sees something in us that he wants. Amen? Our worship. Our love. And you think about how much gratefulness was in that little mule whenever he was received. How much 10 times more should we be grateful? Amen? Whenever we see the mistakes, we see the failures, we see the things we've done wrong in our life, but God chose us anyway. Amen. Think about being a son or daughter of God. It's not something that we just chose one day. You say, "You know what? I think I'll serve God. I think I will. I think, you know what? Why not?" Just throw your beer down, throw down your cigarettes, throw down whatever it may be. "I'm just going to turn a new leaf today." Friends, there was something on the inside of you that you were always a son of God. And you were always a daughter of God. And one day you finally recognized it. Amen. One day you're going through and say, "You know what? I'm different." I remember as a young man, I was in high school, and I used to hate it so much because I wanted so much to just go gung-ho and just party hard and go. And I would go to a certain point that I always feel something on the inside pulling me back. There was always something pulling back. And everyone said, "Why do you act this way?" I have no idea why. You know, you go to certain things, and I could, even as someone that wasn't serving the Lord, I could be going down the road, and whenever Amazing Grace would come playing over the radio, it was something on the inside. It was like a jerk on the inside. Even when I wasn't serving God. You think about the times when you were going through your life before you were even serving God. Every time there was something pulling at your heart. And it was something there. What was it? It was that seed of God on the inside of you. And it was God calling you home. Amen? Friend, the reason you have that is because you are a son of God. And all you got to do is surrender to that call. Amen. Surrender to that pull. And just let it come. Amen? Amen. A wife, a woman, we got one of our ladies at work. She's been in denial about something because she had these weird appetites coming up. She was eating all the time. Eating donuts, eating, you know, more donuts would come, and she's eating donuts again, and breakfast burritos, and she was eating again. And she had that look on her face, and I thought to myself, she's pregnant. And I caught her in over there again, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "You're pregnant." She said, "Oh, no, not me. I'm not pregnant. No, no." I said, "You're pregnant." She could deny it all she wanted to. Her diet gave her away. And she even went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're pregnant." Said, no, not me. Not me, I ain't pregnant. And she still didn't believe it. And time goes on, and guess what happens before too long when a woman's pregnant, and as long as she's eating right, she starts to show a little bit. And there was something here starting to stick out, and finally we got a big mirror-looking thing out in front of the dealership. One of the decorations there, and you can see your reflection on it. Yesterday, she was standing over there. I walked out, and she was looking at the front of it, and she turned sideways and looked at herself, and I just stood there. I didn't say a word. I was standing there, and she said, I'm pregnant. I said, yeah, I know you are. But you know what? That's the way we are a lot of times. You say, you know what? I ain't got it. I ain't got it. I just don't have that Holy Ghost. I've tried so many times. I ain't got it. But you know what? We can stand back and look at you and look at your desire. You're pregnant. And as long as you keep eating right, the more you keep eating the Word of God, staying in that presence, you know, feeding on the Lord, doing what you're supposed to do, you'll begin to show more and more. And one day, you're going to come to a point where you can look in the mirror yourself and you say, I got it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's where we want to come to. We want to come to the point where it's recognition, confirmation by recognition. When we finally recognize, I've got it. The devil wants so hard to try to plow in your mind and think you ain't got it. Two things he'll try to do. He'll try to personally think they're saved when they're not, but the biggest one he'll do, he'll try to make you think you're not saved when you really are. He'll make you think you ain't got the goods when you really got it. But the thing you've got to do is start acting like a son of God. You know, if you take a person that tries to walk in transgression, the way of the transgressor is hard. He'll be miserable, grumpy, grouchy, edgy. Hope I'm not talking about anybody today. When someone's real grumpy all the time and they're real edgy all the time, you know why? They're walking in air.
That's right.
And God's dealing with their heart.
That's right.
If you ever find yourself and you just keep biting everybody's head off and it seems like, and you say, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to do that. Not even 5 minutes later, God's dealing with your heart. You know what? And because God is a God of peace and harmony. And when you get that harmony in the house, friends, there's joy unspeakable. You'll be singing all the time. You'll be in the shower. You'll be singing, one of them, one of them. Beat on the wall a little bit. Praise God, I'm one of them. My wife gets always, you knock the shampoo bottles off. Quit. Because, see, there's something on the inside of me that wants to praise God. And see, and I know from experience, they're talking the same thing. I also know when I'm walking in air and I've made a mistake and you try to sing those same songs, it just don't work. You've got to get those things right. We're fed by appetite, amen? God will lead you. God will lead you. When you're eating right and that engine's producing on the inside, it's like a steam engine. You can just bulldoze right through things. Everything in the world could be going wrong in your life and you can't help it. Praise God. You know, a lot of people want to serve God for the... You know, there's good things that come with God. You know, God will provide your finances, wonderful. God will provide good health, wonderful. But friends, the greatest peace there is that joy on the inside when you can fellowship with God, one to another, just lip to ear, and God can fellowship with you, friends. That's the thing that's worth more than anything. You wouldn't even care about the finances, amen? I've said before, some of my greatest times is when we didn't have a dime. We had that old junky white car that we had, the little Nissan. I think it was a 70s model, like a 78 model. And I had to keep floor mats on certain parts of the car, because if you didn't, you could see the road. And I was afraid something was going to fall out and roll underneath the floor and go underneath the car. So we'd have to keep floor mats under certain places. And then before too long, the gear shifter with the bottom of the rubber piece, it would start rotting away, and you could see through that. So I had grease rags wrapped around that and cinched it tight. But you know what? We'd be going out a little car and it would backfire constantly. And especially when you go to shift gears, there's a little standard. And we're going down the road and just every time they would toot, smoke would blow out. And we were going across the Garrison Bridge. It's right up the road, right across the street here. We're going across the Garrison Bridge and you'd have to use both feet sometimes even when it was running to keep it running. You have to adjust the clutch and the brake at the same time, because if you left the clutch, it'd die. We were going to cross that Garrison Bridge, and we were singing, one of them, one of them, one of them songs. We were praising God. We were singing. There was such a fire in our bosoms, serving the Lord. And we were just praising the Lord, and we're and had a little beat going. We were going across that bridge there, and we looked beside us, and my wife elbowed me real hard, and she said, and these people next to us had their cameras out. And they were taking pictures. And we said, praise God. And they just went on. I'm going to tell you what, we were happy, friends. But it wasn't because we had a new car. It wasn't because I had a whole lot of money. It's because I had a God that was with us. Amen.
Amen.
He's so wonderful. So wonderful that he just come down and just bring such a peace on the inside. And you know what? It's not the vacations that we can go on. It's not on those things.
Right.
It's having Him. That's our greatest reward. You know, when we get to the other side, friends, it don't matter if we, as long as I can have Him. Amen. Just be near Him.
Amen.
And that's, I believe that's truly what God wants. He wants us to have a desire to just be with Him. You know, my wife, she was there for a while when I had my surgery. My wife was working. And I hated that. Since we've been together, she's worked 6 months. And I hated every day of it. And she was working, and my children and I, we were going to go to Noel and listen to a brother preach. But we said, you know what, let's go see Mama as fast as we can before we go to service. And we rushed to her work as fast as we got, and we got 10 minutes with her. And the kids, they just held on to her and hugged her and loved her. And we started to walk away, and Elijah made a comment. He says, Daddy, he said, we sure didn't get to talk to her very much. I said, yeah, but you think about the world that meant to her. Us going there, driving that far to see her for 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes in her presence. That's all I want, just 10 minutes to be in her presence. And I'll tell you what, it's 10 times that with God, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Whenever we will fight for time and say, God, I just want 10 minutes with you. 10 minutes alone with you. 10 minutes, God. Friends, I believe that if, and we talk about the sacrifice, where there's no sacrifice, there's no blessing. Friends, that's where we need to sacrifice more. Is we need to sacrifice more on having that alone time with God. Where we start pushing everything else to the side and say, God, I just want 10 more minutes with you. I want to seek your face, God. I want to talk to you. Because you know what? God has feelings. Amen. God's got feelings. And I'm telling you what, you make God feel good, He's going to make you feel good. Amen. You want to make a woman feel beautiful or act beautiful, make her feel beautiful. You talk about how pretty she is and all the good things she does, recognize the good things, talk about the good things she's done for you. My wife, I'll give her the big head sometimes. Work, because my guys, they like to admire my wife's cooking when they look at me. And I was standing to the side, and I was just getting ready to do whatever we're going to do, and all of our salesmen were kind of lined up, and they was kind of looking and kind of chuckling, and everyone was kind of laughing, and I wasn't laughing. You ever been there? Everyone knows the joke, and then you finally realize, you know, I think I'm probably the joke. And I'm sitting here looking out there, and I'm just like, what's going on? Because they said, well, we're just admiring your mama's cooking, your wife's cooking. I said, well, I bet you go home hungry, don't you? But you know what? I get to make my wife feel so good, because when she comes, everybody comes, they want to say, hey, what's for supper? What's for supper, Daniel? What's going on? And it makes her head get about that big sometimes. She knows, because my people at my work know how well my wife takes care of me. So she irons my clothes. She cooks my supper. She does all this. Are you serious? She irons your clothes? Yeah. She cooks her supper too? Yeah. Real food? Not stuff. Oh, no, the real stuff. Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? Do you pay her? No. She's my wife. And she loves me.
Yeah.
And she takes care of me. And I will talk about all the time, all the good things, but I don't just talk, friends. I show. I show how well my wife takes care of me. And you know what? We ought to be 10 times more with God.
Yeah.
Not just talk. Not just talk about how God takes care of us. Not talk about how much He provides for us. He does that for you too? Yeah. Provides your finances? Yeah. Gives you good health? Yep. He gives you fellowship? Yep, sure does. He meets all of your needs? Yep. See, but that's just talk. But see, when you've got the shows too, when you're at work and someone can look at your life and say, God has got His hand on that man. God has got His hand on that woman. Friend, that's the display of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's whenever we can not just do the talk, but we can do the walk of what this message was sent to do. This message was sent here to call a bride and make a bride ready. We're the elect of God, amen? We are the elect of God. And we need to walk with our heads up high to high in the Son of God. Amen. I have things to be thankful for. And you know what? I'm telling you what. We do that, I believe we'll be a lot more happier than a lot of the trials we go through. But you know what? It's not what we go through that makes us who we are. It's how we handle it. Amen. You take a woman that's been ravished in her life, and that lasted probably just a few minutes. But there's a lot of women, they've let that take over their entire life. And their whole life has been consumed by the pain and the horror of those things. That's what the devil will do. He'll make something that happened in your life, a small instant in your life, but he'll control your whole life about that.
That's right.
And that can be bitterness. That's one of the biggest giants today is bitterness.
That's right.
Somebody will do you wrong, and as many times the person had no idea that they'd done it. And you will have a root of bitterness that will grow in your heart, and for years you'll be bitter towards that person.
That's right.
And it will. And bitterness doesn't stay in one place. Bitterness spreads out.
Yeah. That's right.
And if you let it stay there, you'll be bitter toward your wife, your children, your church, bitter to everybody. And if you take that, and we used to have cucumbers, and then cucumbers will take over a garden quick. But you take that cucumber, and though it's got vines everywhere, you take that vine and you just start at the end and you start walking back and forth. And you may go loops. You may do all kinds of little loops. You keep tracing it back. Pull that vine. Just keep walking back. There'll be cucumbers all the way. You go all the way back. You'll find it coming to one place. One root. And you know what? That's where bitterness is. When you've got bitterness in your heart and you really stop and say, why am I so bitter toward it? And you start thinking, is it my wife that I'm bitter? Nope, it's not her. You keep taking that vine. Is it my pastor? Maybe my pastor is the reason I'm bitter. You keep chasing it all back. And you chase that bitterness back, all the way back, and you trace it back. You'll find out most of the people you're bitter toward had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
That's right. You know what? We need to really search our hearts sometimes and say, why am I so bitter? Where is this coming from? Because God ain't called us to that, amen?
That's right.
God called us to a sweetness. We want it to be, I want the honeysuckle. Where's it at? You're pulling the honeysuckles back, amen?
That's right.
But it all goes back from one place, and it's all right here. It's right in our heart. You know, everybody can see the outside. I can smile, especially as a car salesman. I used to say all the time, don't ever trust a car salesman. Because they can smile and they can lie, but I don't do that. God's my truth. God's my judge. I do it with integrity. But you know what? As a car salesman, I can feel just as terrible as can be. Back would be down, just not feeling well at the moment. And I'll see a car come up, like, let's go. Smile on my face, just as jolly as can be. Go up there and shake their hand. And they say, oh, I wish I could feel as good as you do. I said, well, if only you did it. But you know what? It's all on the outside. And I can sell. I can tell them people, yeah, I'm feeling great. But on the inside, I am so hurting in my body. Pain, going through all these different things. And that's the way it is with us. A lot of times on the outside, we can make the church, make everybody, our closest friends sometimes, think everything is just fine. I'm so jolly, everything's going good, everything's wonderful. But behind that, see, you know what? I feel so terrible. I'm hurting. I've got pains on the inside. But you know what? There's a scripture for that. Just confess your faults one to another. You can be saved. Amen? When you're going through something, friends, don't let the devil make you go year after year with that same old battle. But whenever you're battling something, you can go to a brother you trust. You confess your fault to that brother. And you see if God don't answer the request. Amen? I'll give you a testimony for myself. A few years ago, I was going through something. I was really struggling. And didn't know how I was going to overcome it. And I went to a brother I could trust. And I hope the brother don't mind me telling him. I went to my brother Tony. And told him, brother, I'm just struggling. I ask you to really just pray for me. But it's one of those struggles that I really didn't even know what the struggle was. Does that make sense? Seem like you're really struggling, but you tried to chase that vine back, but you can't find the end of it. So it's like you just keep going in circles. And you're like, God, what's... There's something not right, but I don't know what it is. God, what is it? And I finally went to my brother and I said, Brother Tony, I said, I need you to pray for me because I'm going through something. I said, and to be perfectly honest with you, I have no idea what it is. But I ask you to pray for me. I'm going to tell you what, God gave me total deliverance. Amen? Sometimes you can be going through a struggle and don't even know what you're fighting. That's a hard battle to win. Can you imagine being in a boxing match with somebody and you don't even know who you're fighting? You can't even see him. He's just tearing you to pieces. That's the way the devil does. He wants you to not even know who you're fighting anymore. He wants you to think, you know what, this is just the way it has to be. But you can call out for help, amen? And I know this is kind of in a lot of areas, it's kind of touchy. But I'm telling you what, friends, I'm doing it because I love you.
Amen.
Don't let the devil steal that joy from you anymore. Don't let that devil take the worries from you anymore. Don't let the devil put bitterness in your heart toward your brothers anymore or your sisters anymore. Amen. We need to be on fire for God. Amen.
Amen.
Praising the Lord. Abraham praised God even though it looked like it was impossible. It looked at the point in Abraham's life, he could look at it and say, my chances of having this baby looks absolutely impossible. But you know what? He looked at the circumcision and God gave him the promise. Amen? God give it to me. Let's all stand. You know yourself in your heart, and you know what? I love every one of you. And I want to see us all prosper in this walk. And I want to see us all. And I'll tell you that I'm the first one. If you want to see someone that makes mistakes, I'm number one. Amen. But you know what? We're striving for something. And when I say some things that may feel like it really steps on your toes, it's not to be mean to you. It's to tell you the truth. Because I want to see you conquer. I can remember one time we were in a little boxing match, and my uncle was being the coach/referee, and this guy was quite a bit bigger than me. And I'd go in there, and he was just tearing me to pieces. And I'd come back, and I'm like, no more, no more. And he said, yes, you are. Come on, you can do this. You do it. I'm the one taking the beating. I went back there, and I talked to this coach, and my uncle, he said, you got to go out there. He said, you've got to go face him again. Because if you don't do this, Daniel, he said, you regret it the rest of your life. I said, you go out there, and he told me what to do. And I go out there again. I said, all right, I'm going to go. I go out there, tut, 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 tut. I go back there, and I'm like, it didn't work. And he says, listen to me. You're not listening. I told you what to do, but you're not listening. You think you're listening, but you're not listening. This is what I want you to do. You go out here, and you do it just like this. Okay, I go out here and this guy's way bigger than me and I do exactly what it says and boop, and it was out. And what I'm showing there is I thought I was listening to what he was saying, but I wasn't. Amen. And I kept telling him. And you know what I found out? I got frustrated at him because I thought he didn't know what he was talking about.
Think about it.
Yeah. That's the way it can be a lot of times in the ministry is telling you something and you say, you know what, I did that. But you didn't. You didn't do it. You got to listen. Listen to what he's saying because he'll show you how to beat that devil. Because if you don't beat him when you got him, you're going to regret it. Because it's going to be a lot harder to get him back in that position. Amen. So praise God. Let's just bow our heads for just a minute. You know what? I know I've talked about a lot of things here this morning. And I want to see you conquer them devils that's trying to get on you. I want to see you conquer in life. Because when you recognize, I can do this. I'm called to this. This rapture is for me. I'll tell you what, God can give it to you. You know, with every head bowed, I'm going to ask you something. Are you struggling with that root of bitterness? You know, if you just want to know, you know, I got to get over this thing, why don't you just lift your hand to the Lord? You say, God, you know what, I'm going through that. And I don't want to have that no more. God sees your hands. And I'm telling you what, we're going to take this to God this morning. And God answers my prayer. As a son of God, God answers my prayer and He's going to meet your request. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you've seen the hands that have come up, Lord. And I am confident in who I believe. And Lord, their hands that have gone up and said, Lord, you know the request, whether it be bitterness, whether it be a struggling about something. Many times it's a battle. We don't even know what the battle is. We just know we're struggling. Lord, I'm asking you, the discerner of hearts, the giver of every good gift, the author of life. I'm asking you to go to every hand right now, Father, and bring peace to every situation, Father. Lord, I'm asking you that you'll search their hearts, O God, and minister to them, Lord, and may that peace and that joy be restored into their homes and their hearts. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you'll touch every hand, God. Minister to them, Lord. Seek every devil that may try to bind them, Lord. I rebuke every devil right now. Lord, I'm asking you for total deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and sing something.
To this church in ministry will get you there. Because I sat back this morning, I just marveled how the Lord just, like Brother Daniel said, he'll call everybody into one channel, one mind. And there's so many good things that Brother Daniel hit this morning. Each one of just a subject in itself, but so many truths that is not heard outside these walls. So much. You know, whenever you enter into a relationship, a woman enters into the marriage relationship with her husband, there's things that he shares with her that nobody else knows. Because it's her right to have that kind of interaction with him. And saints, I'm telling you, the Lord is, he is absolutely pouring out. You know, last year we went through a big, not just us, but people who believe of the same faith that we do, went through a big onslaught. The How many knows God promised that every time the enemy would come in like a flood, God would raise up a standard.
Amen.
And I can tell you, God has raised him up the standard of his word. And he's pouring out things into the heart of his bride that the world knows nothing about.
Yeah.
And it's marvelous. It just absolutely, you know, just, I don't know no words to say what it causes down inside when you see that. And so we certainly want to be thankful for what the Lord has given us. I enjoy this morning's service. Thanks for Brother Daniel had to share.
Amen.
And you'll hear me sometimes interact a little bit louder whenever I hear a brother minister something that I know, and I'm going to say this because I feel led to say it, but sometimes when I know that the Lord is using a minister besides me, and that minister gets into a channel that I know someone in this church is having a struggle with, and I can kind of glance my eyes around, and a lot of times that person's not even paying attention. It doesn't look like they are right at that moment. And I just think, you know, how sly the devil is, you know. But, you know, God, like I said, I believe God, if we listen, Brother Daniel said, you know, that sometimes we think that we're hearing, and we go out and it doesn't seem to be working, and sometimes we get frustrated at the man that's telling us to do whatever it is, and sometimes we get frustrated, but it's because we're not listening. Amen. We want to listen.
Amen.
We want the Lord just to help us to understand. So we thank the Lord for his goodness. How many enjoy it?
Amen.
He's going to take something home with you. And if nothing else, just take one thing that you heard that spoke to you. One thing that is pertinent to your battle. And just make a promise to the Lord right now. Lord, this week I'm going to take that and I'm going to give that to you. And I'm going to believe you for answers. I'm going to believe you for a change. I mean, he's going to do that.
Amen.
Amen. And he will certainly help you. So we thank the Lord for this service this morning. Let's just bow our hearts to him again. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of the service this morning, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the word that is given to us this morning. Lord, knowing from the very moment that Brother Daniel began to speak, that he was speaking so strongly from his heart, from the burden of what you put upon him. Lord, we know when the ministry of the word comes from the heart like that, it's going to accomplish something. It goes out and it's speaking to the hearts of your people. So I pray, God, that today as we go from this place, that, Lord, the words that were sown in the hearts of the children, Lord, that they would grow. Become great things in their life, Lord, and they would ponder on them. Lord, pray and seek your face concerning what they heard. Lord, because we know that as your prophet told us, and we've seen it over the years to be true, that every time we come to the house of God, when we go away, we're either closer to you or further away from you. I pray, Lord, this morning that the testimony be among each one that they are closer to you today, that they've committed more of their life to you. They trust you in more things. God, that you be with us now as we leave and go. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.
Stand for Jesus.